And let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Several weeks ago, I asked you to be looking at that passage because I knew what I was going to do on New Year's Eve. They all kind of run together with me now. I don't even know if it's Christmas or New Year's. But in chapter 10, verse 31 through chapter 11, verse 1, spiritual commitments for the 2018. And we're going to do the slide a little different today. We don't have all the points up there. I put it where Morgan can do them one at a time for effect. And but everybody who's ever had a job had a job description, right? And all biblical characters had a job description and knew what God had called them to do. And we have a spiritual job description. And sometimes we lose sight of what's really important in the Christian walk. And we fail to see the big picture. And we need to be reminded of the biblical pillars, I call them, of the Christian faith. If we could put down the Christian life down to four things, what would we use? And sometimes tonight, I want to use tonight as a time to refocus and re-energize our Christian journey. You know, in fact, Jesus was able to do that. There were some 613 laws, and he kept every one of them. But he obeyed them, but he basically reduced them to two. And we find that in Matthew chapter 22. I'll just read it to you, verse 37. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And this is the first commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Of these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Now, the Apostle Paul in our text here tonight gives us what we can call a job description and helps us refocus and re-energize our commitments for the year 2018. So you've got the text there. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's word, and let's begin in verse 31. Now the context here in chapter 10, Paul is talking about our Christian liberties, that we're not to take them too far in many cases and to offend our brother and sister in Christ. And he says in verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Father, I pray tonight that you help us this very simple message drawn from the Word of God to refocus our commitment and what it should be in 2018. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen. Number one, we are to seek the glory of God. Verse 31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. And we need to be reminded, we're not here to seek our own glory. We're here to seek the glory of God. God made mankind and he made creation, he made the world to give him glory, not us. Now, how do we ascribe glory to God? When we talk about glory, certainly we're talking about who God is and what he has done and what he deserves. And when we talk about ascribing glory to God, what are we talking about? Yeah, we're talking about praising him for his works, his character, and his attributes. It basically means just bragging on God. Now, how do we ascribe God glory? Well, there's a passage of scripture in Exodus 33, 18 and 19. And Moses prayed, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. In verse 19, God did. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will perform the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy unto whom I will show mercy. So the Lord responded to Moses' request to show him his glory by showing him his attributes, okay? And that's how we ascribe glory to God. We reflect his attributes. So whatever we do, whatever we eat, wherever we go, whatever we do, we need to do it for the glory of God, right? So that others may see his attributes. I believe that's very important. If we don't, if we miss this first one, we're going to miss all of them. We should do nothing to rob him or tarnish his glory, right? Even in the little things, like in our text here, whatever you eat or drink or do or say, we should reflect the glory of God. That will get you on track, church. Does this bring God glory, or does this bring me glory, right? And so we need to seek, first of all, the glory of God. Secondly, Paul says we need to seek the benefit of others. Seek the benefit of others. Look in verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. Seek the benefit of others. Here he mentions three groups, and everybody falls in these three groups. The Jews, the Gentiles, or the church of God. That covers all people here. We should benefit the betterment, or we should pursue the benefit or the betterment of other people. You know, it's easy in this life just to think about me and us and our family, right? And we can be so entangled with us that we fail to help benefit other people, right? And y'all know what I'm talking about there. Romans chapter 12, verse 10, Paul said it this way: be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another, putting others ahead of yourself, right? I hate to give some illustrations, but listen, folks, it's easy to sit at home and watch TV. There are multitudes of opportunities for you to get outside the house and go minister. And I hate to give an illustration, but yes, you may have to travel 38 miles to Tallahassee to see somebody in a hospital, but once you go, you're gonna think better of yourself for going, right? And you're going to feel good about that, right? And getting out of our box, seeking the benefit of others, doing things for them, funeral homes, hospital visits, right? And we often throw up this defense, you know, well, I don't like hospitals. Pray tell me, if you like hospitals, there's something wrong with you, right? Well, I don't like funeral homes. Well, I'm not even going to like it when I'm laying in one, right? But we got to do things for the benefit of other people, right? Seek the glory of God. We do that. We will have a desire to do the benefit for other people. Giving preference to one another is not always easy. But God never asks us to do something that he will not give us the strength to carry it out, right? So seek the glory of God. Secondly, this coming new year, seek the benefit of others, right? And number three, seek the salvation of the lost. Look in verse 33. Strange verse, but let me straighten it out for you. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Paul's not talking here primarily about the desire to save the lost, the desire to witness. What he's talking about here, he's emphasizing the fact that we need to be culturally and socially aware of other people, that we won't offend them to the point that we lose a witness with them, okay? The context is not about flaunting our Christian liberties, right? In the context here in chapter 10, you know, eating meat offered to idols. And you're going to go forward like a bull in a china shop, and you're going to offend a new believer in some kind of way that they think they just come out of this and they think that's wrong. And you're going to go ahead with your Christian liberty, and you're going to offend them, and you're going to ruin a witness with them, okay? So we seek the salvation of the lost. I think that's what it comes down to, church. Seek the glory of God, and we do that by the benefit of others. And one of the great ways that we need to make a commitment in the new year is to seek the salvation of the lost, right? And then lastly, and I told you I won't keep you too long, number four, seek the likeness of Christ. Look in verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also also am of Christ. You see, without the believer's pursuit of Christ's likeness, we'll never be able to accomplish anything in the Christian life. See, God saved you to make you conform to the image of His Son, right? That's Romans 8, right? We all know that. He wants to conform you and me to the image of His Son. But if we have no desire to be conformed to the image of His Son, then we got a problem, right? We'll never amount to what we need to amount to unless our desire is to be like Christ, right? So we need to pursue Christ's likeness. And we can't accomplish anything much in this Christian life if we don't have a desire to be like Christ. So we ought to seek the likeness of Christ. So this coming year, all of us need to make a commitment that I'm going to seek the glory of God, I'm going to seek the benefit of others, I'm going to seek the salvation of the lost, and I'm going to seek the likeness of Christ in my life. Because that's why He saved you and me, is to make us like Jesus Christ. And if we kick the gourds and we kick the pricks and we fight against Him, then we're fighting against the very reason that He saved us, right? Is to make us like Jesus Christ. So I hope you see it here. We glorify God in all that we do by placing the benefit of others ahead of ourselves so that we might be saved, and by pursuing the likeness of Christ. Seek the glory of God. Very simple, right? Seek the glory of God. Seek the benefit of others. Seek the salvation of the lost. And seek the likeness of Christ. And I believe if we'll do that, and everything else in the Christian life, our prayer life, our Bible study, our church attendance, our ministry in the body of Christ, and our giving, whatever it might be, I believe that all of that will fall in its right area if we do those four major things that Paul is talking about, okay? All right. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Father, we thank You tonight for this New Year's Eve service, as we have come together in the Lord's Supper and as we have partaken of the elements and what they represent. And as we talked about our personal spiritual commitments one with another, yes, I'm disappointed there was no more shared than they did, because each of us should have a spiritual commitment. But Lord, we should be able to voice that. Well, you say, it's just my commitment. It's not for anybody else. But these things edify the body of Christ when we can interact with these things in our heart. So tonight is the night we want to make not a New Year's resolution. New Year's resolution is not Christian. We want to make a spiritual commitment in these four areas. So the altar is open. Whatever you would like to do, come and say or do, you're invited to come. Father, I pray that these four things will be embedded in the hearts of me and our people as we go into the new year, that we would seek the glory of God, seek the benefit of others, seek to save the lost, and that we would seek the likeness of Christ in our daily life. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.